Greetings, friends, and welcome to session number 6 of the Emotional Eating Breakthrough Program. I'm Mark David, founder of the Institute for the Psychology of Eating. Thank you, as always, for being here and for being on this journey together. I'm honored. The title of today's session is Harnessing the Wisdom and Power of Your Life Stage. I really think you're going to find this to be a very fascinating topic. And before we jump into new material, let's summarize some of the important overall themes when it comes to finding freedom and peace with emotional eating, when it comes to finding your happy place with food and body. So here's what we've been learning. Emotional eating is a great teacher. You are here to learn the unique lessons that emotional eating is teaching you. It just so happens that all of us, all humans, we use food to regulate our emotions. That's real. That's natural. That's okay. Feel bad, eat food, feel better. But this can become problematic when we use food as the main way to regulate unwanted emotions. So we can think of excessive emotional eating as an unwanted habit. We can define an unwanted habit as any behavior that we don't like, that's automatic, repetitive, and unconscious. In other words, you don't wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I really need to make sure that I emotionally eat today by putting all my energy and attention on it. The unwanted habit does itself. Automatic, repetitive, unconscious. So the only way we can possibly change a habit that's unconscious is to introduce consciousness. And by consciousness, we mean what? The practice of being awake, being aware, being present. It means making deliberate efforts as we do our best to stay in the light, especially when we find ourselves emotionally eating. If you don't stay conscious and awake while driving your car, if you go on automatic pilot, bad things happen. So consciousness and staying awake is a practice. You know, another important overall theme when it comes to transforming emotional eating is this. We've got to learn to regulate our emotions in ways other than eating. That's your overall goal, stated in the most simplest of terms. In other words, as long as food is our only strategy, our key strategy for dealing with uncomfortable emotions, then we will emotionally eat because we have to have a way to regulate ourselves. But as you and I learn to effectively use other strategies to managing our challenging emotions, then you're on the road to freedom. We're also discovering another important key to transforming emotional eating, and it's this. We must learn to harness the mind. An unchecked mind will repeat old insults and judgments and basically make us pretty unhappy. Harnessing your mind means not letting the mind have its way with you, not allowing it to torture you with self-attacking and negative thoughts, and not allowing it to continue to believe beliefs that are harmful and toxic to you. Left to its own devices, the mind will repeat what it has learned from the environment, from the media, from the world, from the parents, from everybody around you that you grew up with. The mind is essentially, it's a tool. It functions in a very automatic way. It takes in what it takes in, what it learns. By the way, it's easily distracted. It will continue its habitual ways of self-limiting strategies unless we train it otherwise. So you are here in this life to learn how to harness your mind. That's one of your main goals in this world, whether you emotionally eat or not. We need to learn to pay attention, to focus, to learn the alphabet, to speak, to tie your shoes, to wipe your butt, to let go of distractions, to learn the rules of the road. It's called going to school. It's called going to the school of life. And it all requires harnessing the mind, focusing the mind. Learning to help your mind be the best tool that it can be. So it's your job and your responsibility to do your best to teach your mind to benefit you. This isn't easy, but it's such a wonderful practice. You're teaching your mind to align with you and your highest values, to say kind things to you, to see the positive in life. It's your job to do the practices that make the mind a sharper and more effective tool that works on your behalf. I know this is not always so easy. That's because your mind is incessantly bombarded just by the nonsense of the world. We're often assaulted by the news, by social media, by music videos, by entertainment that can be negative, by shallow, violent, and gossipy media that depicts oftentimes the lowest common denominator of humanity. We are exposed to a lot of junk food for the mind. So your task, your exercise, from now until the end of time is this. Monitor your mind. Monitor your mind. Notice negative thinking. Catch yourself. And in the moment you catch yourself, consider forgiving yourself. Make a shift. Find a different thought. Find something positive to focus on in that moment. Be a gentle yet clear no, no, no to self-attacking thoughts. As you've seen, every negative thought invokes a physiology. It invokes some version of stress chemistry. Day in, day out, excessive and self-chosen stress chemistry, it's a risk factor in a majority of diseases. It leads to inflammation. It leads to mitochondrial dysfunction, hormonal dysregulation, digestive problems, nutrient excretion, and weight gain, weight loss resistance, fat deposition, appetite deregulation, and more. And of course, negative thinking by itself can lead to emotional eating. So we cannot afford a constant, incessant, nonstop barrage of self-chosen negative thoughts and self-attack. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a change in your thinking that positively changed your life? Meaning, you know, I used to see myself one way, and now I view myself differently and in a better light. I used to believe one thing, but now I believe something that's more uplifting and liberating. If you can recall such an experience, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of ongoing practice that makes life living. You see yourself one way one day, and maybe not so much in a good light, and that's able to shift. You're able to shift that. And when you shift that, life changes. And that's what you'll be hopefully doing as long as you're alive, learning to use your mind in a way that truly works for you and helps you live your best life and be your best self. Okay, let's look at today's topic, harnessing the wisdom and power of your life stage. So essentially, we'll be looking at emotional eating and our different life stages. Examining our life stages can help us in a very powerful way to understand ourselves more deeply in general, and to far better work with emotional eating in a faster way, in a more efficient way, in a more targeted way. Okay, first, definitions are always important. What exactly is a life stage? Life stages are the different phases of life that all humans pass through in a typical lifetime. On average, life stages are the different phases of life that all humans pass through in a typical lifetime. In traditional psychology, and there's different systems, but in traditional psychology, life stages are looked at as generally including being in the womb, then infancy, then your toddler years, then childhood, then adolescence, then adulthood, then middle age, then old age. So those are some of the classic life stages according to traditional psychology. And each stage, whether you're a toddler, whether you're an adolescent, whether you're in old age, each stage has its own qualities. It has its own requirements. It has its own challenges. It has its own lessons to be learned. Each stage has its own possibilities and so on. So for our purposes here, I'm going to focus on a different and more unique way of looking at life stages. They're all useful. We're going to look at the life stages through the lens of the royal archetypes. So this is a more specific approach that can reveal insights I have found that are really helpful when it comes to emotional eating. So We've already examined the infancy stage and how emotional eating is hardwired into the infant experience. As infants, we want immediate gratification. The moment the infant's in pain, discomfort, it's hungry, it screams and it cries. And the moment the mama gives the infant bottle or breast, there's an instant relaxation. Feel bad, eat foods, feel better. And to the infant's still developing nervous system, everything is experienced as one. Love is food, touch is food, soothing words are food, mother is love, mother is food, and so on. In the toddler and childhood stages, we slowly learn in an ideal world that we can't always have what we want when we want it. You just can't demand ice cream at every meal or every moment and expect to get it no matter how much we protest. So as children and into adolescence, one of the things we're learning is delayed gratification, future thinking about future consequences. As children and adolescents, we're also learning to regulate our emotions even more. There are so many feelings, so many intense feelings for the youngster. Anger, joy, excitement, sadness, disappointment, hurt, and more. And ideally, we're learning how to embody those feelings, feel those feelings, be able to verbalize them if need be, and manage them so we don't drown in them or feel overwhelmed by them. And of course, we continue to learn these lessons well into adulthood. And the hope is that we're getting better and better and more masterful at regulating our thoughts and emotions so we can be productive, effective, happy, well-adjusted humans in the world. And when it comes to food, we have hopefully learned to manage and regulate our emotions in a way where food is not the one main source of comfort than it might have been when we were infants and toddlers. So I've mentioned the royal archetypes. That's the system we're going to use. That's the system we're going to look at. Let's take a closer look. We can call the royal archetypes king, queen, prince, and princess. What's an archetype? Archetypes are timeless forms or memes or energies or personas or metaphors. The moment you hear the word queen, for example, nobody really needs to explain to you what a queen is. The word invokes something in us that we've learned and absorbed and that resonates with a deeper understanding inside of us. Perhaps the best way to understand archetype is to say, use another word for it. It's a persona, a personality within us, or a voice within us. So you'll hear me using the term archetype, persona, personality, or voice within us interchangeably. Archetypes live inside of us. There are perhaps hundreds, if not thousands of them. You have the child archetype, or this voice or this persona within you. You have the rebel archetype. If you're a parent, you have the parent archetype. Specifically, you might have the father archetype or the mother archetype. If you have siblings, you are the sister or brother archetype. You have that within you. We can express, you've heard archetypes like the magician archetype, the lover, the warrior. These are archetypes, the athlete, the scientist in us, the nerd, the witch, the jerk, the bitch, the asshole, the intellectual, the winner, the loser, the business person. These are all archetypes, the gambler archetype, the criminal archetype, the rock star archetype, party like a rock star, the hedonist, the hero archetype that so many people have read about, so many more. So I think you're getting the picture here. These are all voices within us that can show up. And they show up for different ones of us, depending on what archetypes you and I tend to accentuate. What archetypes tend to dominate our personality, comprise our personality the most. So I'm going to be using the four royal archetypes to help us understand emotional eating. Now, please note that these terms are not meant to be taken as negative or pejorative. When you hear them, because some people hear the word princess and there's a negative association with that. I'm not using it in that way. So when you hear these terms, king, queen, prince, princess, I just think of this, so many of the fairy tales and stories you've heard that have these archetypes. Now, also note that I'm going to be referring to these archetypes as stages. They represent different ages of the human experience. So let's begin with the princess stage in life. So The overall princess stage lasts from about, let's say, 7 years of age or up until around 39. Now, it has various substages. We're going to talk about those within it. Now, in the more youthful stage of experience for the princess, the young woman is focused on feeling a sense of self-worth. So for the young princess archetype, do you like me? Do you love me? Look at me. Am I pretty? Do you approve of me? Why don't you like me? What do I need to do for you to approve of me? In this early stage in life, self-assurance comes from the outside. We're outer referenced as opposed to inner or self-referenced. Inner security, by the way, and a sense of grounded self-worth requires time. It requires experience. It requires oftentimes hardship, challenges, growth, and the development of wisdom. You're not born with that. We grow into it via the school of life. So for this reason and more, the princess stage of life can be very rocky. It can be emotional. It can be confusing. The young princess mind is receiving many messages from the world that, quite frankly, can be harmful, hurtful, damaging, and even traumatizing. These messages might be, you're chubby, you're too fat, you're ugly, you're not pretty, you're not tall enough, you're too tall, you need to lose weight, you aren't good enough to be friends with me, nobody likes you, you don't fit in, your skin looks like this, your family looks like that, whatever it is. The princess mind is also exposed to impossible to measure up to images in the media, movies, and music videos. She sees all the happy girls and the young women who look a certain way, weigh a certain amount, and socialize exclusively with others who appear glamorous and fabulous and eternally happy. And that's what often programs the princess mind. I can go on and on about how the princess mind is conditioned by the world in a toxic way. But the bottom line is the princess mind quickly deduces, based on the input from the world, the princess mind quickly deduces that my body and my looks are my value. She deduces that because the world is giving her that message right and left. So the princess says to herself, I am not lovable, nor does it appear that I can be lovable unless I somehow change or alter my body. Unless my body looks a certain way, I'm not going to be one of the winners. I'm not going to be lovable. The net result is that it's easy for any one of us in the princess stage to turn to emotional eating. So a princess emotionally eats because she is on the wild emotional ride of being young and unsure and finding her value in the world and her lovability. She's trying to do her best to manage her emotions and her life experience. She's navigating challenges at home, at school. Food might be the only thing she knows to turn to for reliable comfort and relaxation and pleasure and good feelings. Every princess starts out as innocent, and that innocence leads her to be easily hurt by the world, which can often have her turning to food. In fact, it's easy for the princess to feel the power of food to regulate her emotions, as it gives her a sense of extreme pleasure. Food is magical when we're young. Food is powerful when we're young. Feel bad, eat food, immediately feel better. And of course, as we know, this is only temporary. What's particularly concerning is that on the one hand, food, emotional eating, creates an instant sense of pain relief and a feeling that everything's okay. So in this way, food is a princess's best friend. But on the other hand, if her body doesn't measure up to the perfect standards she's been brainwashed to believe in, the princess mind quickly determines that the only way and the best way to become one of the fabulous people, one of the chosen ones, to have the ideal body that's going to make everybody love and accept her, is to limit her food intake. So the best friend that she founds is now somehow her enemy. It's got to limit it. So less food, more dieting, more food restriction, intense exercise. These are the things she deduces from her environment that will remedy her unfortunate lot in life by recreating her body so she could be in the in crowd. But again, at the same time, she's learned that food is my best comfort. It's my best comfort for pain and frustration of not having the ideal body. So can you see the impossible conundrum that gets started from a young age. Emotional eating will feel like both a blessing and a curse at the same time. And the desire for emotional relief from food is generally stronger, not always, than a princess's ability to starve herself. So she's always going to feel like she's in a losing battle with food. Additionally, the princess stage is often fraught with perfectionism. After all, she's learned from her environment that the more perfect you are in body and looks, the more lovable you are. That's what she's been taught. By the way, perfection implies I am above all criticism, right? Perfection implies I'm above all criticism. Think about it. If you're perfect, how could anybody possibly criticize you? How could they have anything bad to say about you? Being perfect trumps everything and everyone. You've made it to the top. You don't need to worry again. I have the perfect body. Who's going to argue with me? I eat the perfect diet. Ta-da. I've figured it out. On a deeper level, perfectionism is often a cry for love. It's a cry for self-love. It's a cry for deeper understanding of life. Think of the story of the princess and the pea. She was looking for perfect comfortability. No matter how many mattresses she slept on top of, she could still feel the slight discomfort of the pea in the lowest mattress. And no amount of mattresses could satisfy her, just as having the perfect weight or perfect looks ultimately fails to satisfy. We believe it will, but it doesn't. I'm sure you've heard of any girls or young women who had the ideal looks or shape or body, and they're still in pain, they're still in suffering, they're still in confusion. Looks guarantees nothing. Attaining perfection never satisfies in the ways that we imagine. You know, another aspect of the princess stage is that all princesses are, all young people are, in the process of waking up. Think Sleeping Beauty. Beauty that's asleep. Youth that's asleep. Waking up means gradually maturing into life. Waking up means opening our eyes to the world. Waking up means discovering our own inner beauty and worth. Waking up means opening up to true love, real love, self-love, love from the outside. Now, a young princess aged 7 to 20 years generally cannot determine on her own how to manage the challenges of the world, the hardships, the hurts, the confusion. When she doesn't have the help and the mentoring and the parenting that she needs, she naturally turns to food as the best symbolic substitute. So, healing emotional eating at a young age, not so easy. Nor is it something to necessarily have as an immovable, an ultimate goal. So when we're young, emotional eating, not easy to heal because it's still part of the rocky terrain of youth. What I have found is this age group is best served through mentoring and loving support, as opposed to trying to fix something that's broken. You're emotionally eating, that's bad, that's wrong, you're broken. No, the princess is not broken. No brokens. Nobody's broken. Princess is not broken, she's learning. And life is so often helping us learn through hardship and challenge. The princess's relationship with food and body is a great teacher for her. So patience is a virtue for this age group. Patience of adults and mentors and guides around her is a virtue. The young princess needs to go through her journey. Our teen years, you know this, they're especially a time of discovery, learning, turmoil, innocence lost, passionate feelings, new emotions, sexuality arising, self-expression emerging. There's so much energy that a young body must contain and manage and experience that it can be overwhelming. We don't always remember this if we're an adult. Patience, loving, guidance, that's perhaps the best gift you can offer someone in this age group who's challenged with emotional eating. Even if they don't seem to hear it and take it in, this age group needs to get the constant message from their loved ones, from their mentors and guides, that your love for who you are right now, you are beautiful as you are right now, you are loved and accepted unconditionally for who you are right now. You don't have to change to be accepted by me. A great practical strategy for princesses in their teen years is to help them cultivate their interests, their passions, their hobbies, their skills, their creativity, create good friends and good community. Help them explore how they can become more engaged and inspired about life rather than just focusing on food and body and emotional eating. Now, for the princess or young woman in the 20 to 29 age range, I find it helpful to consider that the 20s might be even more difficult than the teens. 20s are underrated in that way. In our 20s, we're no longer a teenager, but we're not quite yet an independent adult who's functioning in the world and found their place. And yet those in their 20s are being given adult responsibilities. They're being asked to step up and find their purpose, their work, their place to live, to find their future, find a meaningful relationship, settle into a rhythm, and perhaps be in a significant relationship and raise children. So that's not easy. And that's why emotional eating at this stage is often predictable. It's understandable. It's important to continue the strategy for growth that we started in the teen years. Cultivate interests, passions, hobbies, skills, express creativity, find good community, seek out like-minded, like-hearted people. Seek out good religion and good spirituality that speaks to you. Explore how you can become a more engaged and inspired person about life. When it comes to emotional eating, the 20s for the young woman are a time to gather momentum and to begin the meaningful work on self, perhaps for the first time ever. It's especially important for this age group to not isolate, to not brood in silence, to not hide their issues or challenges. This is a time to be real, to communicate, and to create support. So we can call ages 30 to 40 the late princess stage. So 30 to 40 is the late princess stage. This stage is about becoming more grounded in the world and gaining more confidence. The transition from age 29 into the 30s is often experienced as a very distinct change. The age 30 transition denotes a time in life when we're no longer living in exclusive reaction to our upbringing and early conditioning. So again, the age 30 transition is a time in life where all of a sudden you don't want to live in just exclusive reaction to your upbringing and early conditioning. It's a time when we naturally first look to the future to begin to truly carve our own path. And at the same time, we fully move out of our parents' house, literally and metaphorically. It's a time when we begin to individuate like never before. It's a time when we can look back and see our upbringing, see the values we absorbed, see the beliefs we absorbed, see the kinds of relationships we were in and go, oh, that worked, that didn't, that could be shifted, that could be changed, that could be upgraded. If a young woman is still challenged with emotional eating at this stage, this is an ideal time to surge forward. The inner tools are there to turn things around with emotional eating. So emotional eating at this stage is all about finding your place in the world. It's about focusing on and owning your deepest and truest desires. Do you want family? Do you want love? Do you want relationship? Do you want children? Do you want a certain career? Do you want a certain purpose in the world? What do you bring to the table? What do you offer in a significant relationship? Are you someone who gives or someone who just wants what she wants when she wants it? Are you creating a healthy community of friends and support around you? Are you having conversations that matter? Have you let go of perfectionism? Have you let go of having the ideal body? Are you willing to put less energy into food and weight worry and channel that energy where it belongs, which is into your deepest goals and dreams in life? You gotta start to put first things first when you hit that age 30 point. Now, it may seem to all of us like emotional eating is the problem, but remember, it's the solution. It's our best attempt to regulate discomfort and unwanted emotions. So we don't transform emotional eating by fighting food or fighting appetite or thinking something's wrong with us or that we're broken and that we need to be fixed. Your relationship with food is a great teacher. You transform emotional eating by getting to the heart of what the wisdom of life is asking you to learn through that challenge. In our 20s and 30s, these life stages are asking us to tap into our dreams, our hopes, our deepest desires in this life and move towards those. We're being asked to step out of our reaction to our past. My parents did this. The world did that to me. I was hurt. I was wronged. This happened. That happened. Yeah, it did. Yes, life can be hard. And this is your time to begin to embrace the hero, the heroine in you, the victor, the part of you that is ready to create the life that you want. Thinking of a story, I worked with a young woman once. She came to see me for emotional eating. She was 21 years old. I'll call her Connie. First thing I noticed about Connie was just how well she carried herself. She was literally, she moved like royalty. And at the same time, I could see on her face that she was very, very troubled. Something was bothering her. Something was eating at her. Connie was emotionally eating just about any food that she liked. Desserts, pasta, bread, cheese. Mostly happened the evening time when she was alone. She lived in a separate apartment in her parents' house. She mentioned that she was extremely close with her mom, but that relationship had its problems. In our first session, after about 30 minutes of getting to know her a bit, I asked her why she thought she was emotionally eating. And she said, stress. And I asked her, what kind of stress? And she said, well, I need to lose weight, that kind of stress. Okay. Turns out she had gained 35 pounds in a relatively short amount of time. Now, when I asked her what caused this intense bout of emotional eating that had her gain weight, she got quiet. And the energy changed. We explored a little more. And she became very emotional and started crying. And here's what I learned about Connie. Connie, from a young age, had been in the beauty pageant circuit. And she had quite successfully moved up the ranks and was now being groomed for the Miss America pageant. And she was in tremendous conflict. Why? Her mother was the one who had driven the show since she was a child. Everyone was so proud of her success. You can imagine she gets big props as a young woman for being a winner in this regard. And all the while, her mother and her were just inseparable and had this goal together, this life together, this dream together, and they're going for the big win. But now Connie was conflicted. She wasn't sure she wanted to continue in the pageant world. And when I questioned her more about this, she got more and more honest. She was tired of it. She didn't like much about it anymore. I can go into all the ways that it doesn't work, but it wasn't pretty for her. And she realized that if I tell this to my mom, it would shock my mom, it would hurt her, and perhaps it might ruin our relationship. So Connie felt stuck around what to do. And of course, all the while, her mom was mortified that she had gained this weight. So I suggested to Connie that maybe her emotional eating and the subsequent weight gain was her way of making a decision about her life, her way of momentarily rebelling, her way without using her words, but her way of trying to say no more. I can't do this anymore without actually saying this. And as I spoke this to Connie, I could see she just relaxed and she immediately resonated with this and she knew this to be true. So we talked about how this was a time in her life, age 21, when she was becoming a young adult and was now ready to make some of her own important decisions, no matter how difficult. I encouraged her to get clear about her desires, and she knew deep inside that she was truly finished with the pageant world. There was a part of her that just needed to feel that voice, to have permission to be in this conversation, and to just say it to herself that this is what she wants. I suggest that she have an honest talk with her mom to trust that relationship. Yes, it'll probably be difficult, but you're ready to take more charge of your life. And you and your mom have done great together for your whole life. And this is going to be a bump in the road, but trust your journey. Trust that relationship. Just took a couple of conversations, Connie transformed in that time. I watched her find her voice. She ended up having a heartfelt talk with her mom. Yes, it was difficult. She dealt with a lot of disappointment from her family. And they all moved on together. And she moved on to the life that she was wanting to live. So her emotional eating was a great teacher for her. It was asking her to dig deeper inside of herself and trust her own soul's path. It was asking her to begin to become a young woman. You're no longer a child, that somebody else is making the decision for you. It was asking her to be in difficult conversations. Her emotional eating was asking her to step out of a part of her upbringing that no longer served her. Okay, here's a journaling exercise. If you're in the 20 to 39 age range for a young woman and you're working with transforming your emotional eating, ask yourself, how is life asking me to let go of my past and step into my young adulthood? How can I move towards the life I wish to live? What dreams do I want to pursue more? What interests and passions are calling for more of my attention? Who am I still angry at? How am I living in my past by blaming others for my struggles? What do I need to do to let go and to move forward? So you're healing and transforming emotional eating by getting better and better at living your best life. That's your royal road to success. We aren't looking to fix something that's broken in you. Your relationship with food is a great teacher, and it's asking you to live the life that you came here to live. That's what's going to help you transform emotional eating. That's your ticket. Be your best self. Do your best to be your best self. And the emotional eating will gradually unwind because it won't have a need to exist. Let's take a look now at the age range of 40 to 49. I'm going to call this stage the queen in training stage. So age 40 to 49 is queen in training stage. Age 50 is the queen. Queen in training stage. At this point in life, you're no longer a princess, but you're not yet a queen. You're learning to step into queenhood, into your most powerful woman self, into your inner authority, into your own self-respect. So at age 40, that transition, you find your voice like never before. It's a potent transition time and it's a palpable one. So this stage is about finding your power and your inner voice, finding the beat of your own drum, getting clear about your values and living them with clear intent. You are ready to become self-referenced like never before. Things that don't work for you definitely don't work anymore. Old habits, old relationships that don't work, you know they clearly don't work and they have to be discarded. You are letting go about what other people think about you. You are freeing yourself at this age range, 40 to 49. You are freeing yourself like never before from the opinions of others, real or imagined. You are becoming self-assured. You can look in the mirror now and see yourself more clearly than ever before. In particular, you can see and own and celebrate your own goodness, the great things about you. You're discovering very clearly that you're not here to please others. You are here to be the best version of you, to share your gifts with the world. This is about you owning you. That's where life is calling you in this 40 to 49 queen in training phase. Work on self goes a long way at this point. This is a peak time. Your spiritual power is being born and made manifest like never before. This is a great time to explore your connection to a higher power, or if you will, to revisit what you believe about the world, about life, to articulate your own spiritual and religious beliefs, to articulate your moral beliefs. If you don't believe in a higher power, you articulate the code by which you choose to live by, and then you go and you live by that code. Now, if you're emotionally eating in this stage, then that needs to be addressed head on. Age 40 to 49, you find yourself struggling with emotional eating. We're going to tackle that head on. Here's a journaling exercise to get you started. What are you hungering for at this time in your life? What do you desire most? What parts of yourself are you holding back? What are you feeling incomplete about? What haven't you let go of? Are you still wanting to have the perfect body? What needs to change in your life so you can feel that you can let go of perfection and you can start being true to yourself? Are you allowing your confidence to show? Are you sharing your light? Are you claiming your likes and your dislikes? This is a time to be willing to let go of anything and everything that doesn't support you in being your truest self. This is a time to make bold changes. This is a time to assert bold boundaries. This is a time to define who you are and live by that definition. If emotional eating is still present for you at age 40 to 49, then you are being asked to make a clear choice. It is time to choose to live your best life. It's time to choose to do meaningful work on yourself. It's time to let go of the young princess wish of having ideal body, ideal diet, ideal weight. You got to take all that energy and focus it on you living your best life. Let's talk about the queen stage. This is 50 and over. Yes, I know there's other stages beyond that. There's the wise woman, there's the crone. But here we're going to just be focusing today on the queen. This is a time when you claim and ascend your throne. You own your womanhood like never before. You own yourself, your power, your gifts. As you sit on your throne, you know this is metaphoric, right? As you sit on your metaphoric throne, your inner throne, you are accepting and embracing the circle of life, right? You've learned a lot. You've seen a lot. You have experience and you have wisdom. You are no longer in your childbearing years. Your function as a queen is to give your gifts to others, to step into your wisdom and maturity, to be a mentor and guide for others, and to rule your queendom with grace and love and radiance and clarity. Your queendom, by the way, is defined as all the people in your world. Your friends, your family, your loved ones, the people you work with, anyone you interact with, even once. If somebody's before you, then they're in your queendom. If they are in your personal space, they've entered your queendom. Your job is to bestow upon your queendom. You bestow upon them. You radiate your best self. You speak with loving kindness and unconditional acceptance towards others, certainly towards yourself. You take the high road. You stay in the light. You uplift the people around you. You're no longer just focused on me. In the queen stage of life, your task is to once and for all let go of the need for outside approval. If you're still looking for people to approve of you, your task is to let go of any need that you have in your body, your being, your heart, your mind, your soul, to let go of any need that you have to be valued through your looks and weights. It doesn't mean you don't want to lose weight. It doesn't mean you don't want to shape-shift your body, but you are letting go of, I need to lose weight in order to be accepted. I need to lose weight in order for people to love me. This body's not good enough. This body's not lovable. Therefore, I'm going to stay shrunken and small in my energy, in my soul. A good queen doesn't sit on her throne and say to her subjects, do you think I'm skinny enough? Do I need to lose weight? Would you approve of me more if I lost 10 pounds from my hips? If a queen said those things, you wouldn't follow her. No one would. That's because a queen owns her power, owns her body as it is. She has discovered peace with her body, peace with food, and peace with her age 50 stage in life. So, very important message here for any woman of Queen's age who's struggling with emotional eating. And there's a lot of them. A woman of Queen's age will continue to emotionally eat, in my experience, largely because there's a part of her that still wants to be a princess. So many women of Queen's age who find themselves emotionally eating do so because a part of them is trying to be a princess. In other words, a woman of Queen's age, 50 and up, who emotionally eat has not yet stepped into her age-appropriate archetype. She is unknowingly refusing to step into her womanhood and refusing her queenhood. She's refusing the throne. She is in protest. She has not said goodbye to the princess life, the princess dreams, the princess needs, and the princess ways. The young person's ways. She believes, perhaps, that she never fulfilled her princesshood, which often means she hasn't fulfilled her vision of a perfect body and perfect weight, where everyone loves and adores her, and all in life will be easy and charming and magical simply because she's at her ideal weight and shape. At this stage, emotional eating is not a problem. It's the solution. Emotional eating helps mitigate the pain of not having what we want, instant gratification around weight and looks, and the glory that we believe we'll experience when we've attained the perfect body and the perfect weight. So emotional eating is alleviating the pain of not feeling like we are a fulfilled princess or that princesshood was ever fulfilled. Another way of saying this is that a woman of Queen's age who struggles with emotional eating is kind of looking for love in all the wrong places. She's thinking like a young girl and not a mature and wise woman who knows better in the deepest part of her soul. Remember, my friends, our relationship with food is a great teacher. Emotional eating is a great teacher. At this stage in life, emotional eating is calling you to step into your queenhood, period. No more time to waste. Zero time to waste. Life is short. And it's shorter when you're 50 than it was when you were 15. You know, if a woman of Queen's age struggles with emotional eating, it can also point to a lack of intimacy, a lack of love, lack of relationship, lack of connection, or lack of purpose. From this place, the queen is not fulfilled. She's not having what she needs to be a fulfilled queen. She's not giving her true gifts to the world. So emotional eating, when that's happening, makes perfect sense. If I can't have love, intimacy, and relationship at this mature stage in my life, then damn, I need something to make me feel good. The remedy here is simple and straightforward no matter what the circumstances are. You still have to claim your throne. You still have to let go of the princess stage. You still have to let go of being a young woman. You have to let go of thinking like a princess who needs outside approval. If there's no love and intimacy in your life, then you need to open up those doors. You need to see what might be in the way. If you're hungering for a relationship, at this point, your best strategy is to just do your best to claim your queenhood, even while you're alone and by yourself. Meaning, be a queen, act like a queen, think like a queen, carry yourself like a queen, conduct yourself like a queen. What would the queen in you say? What kind of queen would you wish to follow? I mean, think about it. If you're looking for a relationship, how could you attract an equally royal partner, let's say a king, how could you attract a king if you're trying to be a princess? You're sending confusing messages into the environment that will repel a good king. Good kings are interested in good queens. Women of Queen's age who don't claim their queenhood and stay in the princess stage are often competitive with other women, particularly women of princess age. I want to say that again, very important. Women of Queen's age who don't claim their queenhood and they're staying in the princess stage are often competitive with other women, particularly women of princess age, the younger women. Many mothers who have not graduated from their princess stage will be unconsciously competing with their own daughters. They might compare themselves to younger women or long to be them and ultimately act as if those who are younger than them are kind of like their siblings or their equals and not someone who they ought to be guiding and loving and mentoring and blessing. Think about the fairy tale of Snow White. What does the queen say? The queen says to her magic mirror, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And when the mirror answers that it's Snow White, is this young princess, the queen falls into a jealous rage and she wants Snow White dead. Ouchies. That's a metaphoric example of what can happen when a queen is still coveting princesshood. She can become resentful and insecure and obsessed. She can lose her perspective. She can be toxic to others. This is an example of a bad queen. She might have power, but she's selfish with her energy and resources. She competes with younger women. She wants only for herself. She's concerned with hoarding. She'll take the low road if it benefits her. She doesn't live by a higher moral code, and she doesn't serve the people in her queendom. That's what happens when we really drop into darkness as a bad queen. A queen who emotionally eats because she's still in the princess stage needs to make a shift immediately. No time to waste. Your time is precious. You must claim your throne. You must choose to let go of your need for approval via your weight or looks. Yes, you can still choose to lose weight, but if that's your main action and main function and main activity, and if that's your number one goal in life, then your priorities are in the wrong place. It's time to say goodbye to princesshood, to the need to find perfection, and embrace the queen within. Perhaps you haven't noticed this. I think there's a shortage of good queens in the world. And not anybody's fault. That's because the world has overvalued princesshood, meaning youth. The world has conditioned us to feel that as we get older, we get obsolete. So if you're no longer young or pretty or slender, then you don't have a place. And this is a toxic and unacceptable viral belief that has gripped so much of the planet. And we change this, how? One human at a time. You choose to be a queen and tune out the nonsense of the world. You choose to step into your wisdom stage, your giving stage, your mature and peaceful and golden stage. You self-graduate. You stop obsessing about food. You claim your throne. Note the term claim. The throne is not given to you. You claim it. You ascend it. In order to claim it and ascend it, you have to stay awake and stay conscious and see yourself clearly and see how you're obstructing your own queenhood by staying in princess consciousness. Now, here's the good news. If you're of queen's age and you're faced with emotional eating, you will be surprised at how readily that you can transform your emotional eating. I don't care how long you've been doing it. What I have noticed is it's much easier to let go of emotional eating faster as we get older. The key, though, is to allow yourself to come face to face with your limited time on earth and to see the wisdom, the necessity of stepping into your queenhood and leaving behind the princess stage. You got to create some ritual where you can say goodbye to that old life, to that old dream. You will feel liberated and free. Now, one thing I've noticed is that many women of queen age who are emotionally eating are trying to lose weight. If this describes you, then here's your homework assignment. I want you to put yourself, if you're a woman of queen's age and you're still emotionally eating and you want to lose weight, I want you to put yourself on a four month, no diet, meaning put aside weight loss, take it off the table, give it a vacation, stop weighing yourself, stop counting calories, stop skipping meals, stop underfeeding, stop giving your life force over to trying to change your body. Just give it a rest for a while. Give your mind a rest. Give your body a rest. This doesn't mean that you throw away all your good and healthy habits and eat whatever you want to eat whenever you want it. It means you choose to experience life, 4 months of it, without trying to lose weight. Pretend this is the body you're going to have for the rest of your life. Start to enjoy this life that you have right now with this body. Stop assaulting your body with unkind words and thoughts. Train yourself to celebrate the life and the body that you have right now. You just got to get over it, literally. Additionally, as you let go of weight loss, and doing this for 4 months, you're faking it till you make it. As you let go of weight loss for 4 months, you can always pick it up again. Don't worry. Take this time to stop comparing yourself to others and stop acting as if you should be a young princess. Be your age. Be your archetype. Be a queen. Carry yourself with dignity. You're good enough as you are. Give to others. Sit on your throne with self-respect. Own your body as it is right now. Stop bullying it. Stop being a bully to your own body and stop trying to force it into being something else. Celebrate it as it is. Let your inner critic just go on vacation for 4 months. Reclaim your life. Instead of putting your energy into constant food worry, constant weight worry, put that energy into living your best life. Just enjoy for this time. I have seen this 4 month experiment absolutely transform emotional eating in a huge way. Okay, my friends, let's pivot. Let's look at the prince and the king. In the prince stage of life, in general, for the prince, he sees his worth as based on what I do, what I accomplish, how I conquer, how I win. And to a lesser degree than the princess archetype, how I look. A prince is trying to determine his place in the world. Who am I supposed to be? What's the definition of a young man, a valuable young man, an honorable young man, a young man who's praised by others for his accomplishments, his physical feats, his skill, his ability to win at the game of life? Like the princess, for the prince, outside approval and recognition are key. The challenge is, princes are given their own kind of mixed messages. You're supposed to be a killer, you're supposed to make money, you're supposed to be ruthless, you're supposed to be strong, you're supposed to be successful, but you have to be emotionally sensitive. So be strong, but don't show vulnerability, don't cry, don't feel your feelings, yet make sure you understand the emotional needs and the feelings of the girls and the women in your world. So the prince is often given the mixed message to conquer the opposite sex, to be sexually prolific, but the prince also needs to be respectful and be a gentleman and don't hurt anybody and don't hurt their feelings. This confusion will inevitably lead to paradoxical behaviors, to disappointments, and to the need to distract. Because princes need to experience their own power, they're easily drawn. Princes are easily drawn to intense experiences, drugs, danger, risky sports and adventures, all of which help them prove their manhood to the world. Princes are trying to discover what to do with all their sexual energy, their physical energy. When these energies are unharnessed or they're causing too much confusion, the prince can turn to emotional eating. A prince can turn to emotional eating if he's unconfident in life, if he feels less than, if he doesn't believe he has value in the world, if he doesn't seem to fit society's ideal as a winner, as an alpha male, as a warrior, or if he doesn't have a good place to channel his abundant energy. A prince wants to be admired. He wants to be respected. And more for the young princes these days, they've got to be muscular. They've got to be strong. They've been given their own ideal through the media of here's how you need to look in order to be acceptable. And if you don't look this way, you're a loser. So as a young man moves into his 20s and 30s, his task is to find more purpose, find his power, be useful, and integrate into the world of adults. This is generally a rocky time for a lot of young men. Young men who have not learned to effectively harness and channel their energy are susceptible in their 20s and 30s to emotional eating, to drugs, to porn, to laziness, to alcohol, and all kinds of distractions that just don't serve them. The prince needs outside support and mentoring, probably above all else. The prince needs outside support and mentoring. He needs good role models. If you're a young man in your 20s and 30s and facing emotional eating, here's your remedy. Cultivate your interests, your passions, your skills, and your creativity. Become a more interesting person. Channel your physical energy, if you got it. Channel your physical energy into some kind of sport or exercise or movement or skill. Work out. Learn about good nutrition. Get your body healthy. Stop distracting yourself with useless entertainment or with porn. Limit or even stop your use of alcohol and recreational drugs. Get clean. Get away from the television. Explore the world. Explore your spirituality. Learn new things. Take risks. Try new things. Hang out only with people who uplift you and inspire you and are moving in the direction that you want to go in. Do your best to find role models. Find them online and just follow them. Ask for help. Find your dream. Start to ask yourself, what do I want in life? Imagine what your best life could be like. And ask yourself, how can I move towards that best life right now? So it's about taking baby steps. I know I'm condensing a lot of life into a few paragraphs, but as it relates to emotional eating, I'm trying my best to highlight how the 20s are a rocky time. And you gotta learn how to ground yourself with something to do with your body, with taking care of your body, as opposed to distracting from your upset with the world, distracting with your boredom with the world, distracting from your complaints about the world, which is often gonna be, as I mentioned, food, alcohol, drugs, media. Now, for those age 30 to 39, this is the late prince stage. It's time to truly settle into your role in the world and build something, relationship, family, career, earning power, a community of support. During this phase in life, ask yourself, am I following a plan? What are my values? What do I want? What are the old habits I have that need to die? Those might be laziness or distraction or boredom or being in a rut at work or not having a supportive community or not having a meaningful relationship, not taking care of my body. Now, we can call the ages of 40 to 49 for a man the king in training. That's the king in training stage. The man is not yet not a prince anymore, but he's not yet a king. He's learning to access like never before his spiritual strength. He's learning to make sure he's achieving his goals in life and grounding himself with a sense of duty and usefulness. A king in training is learning to give back to the world and to assume responsibility in a whole new way. This transition into the 40s is a time when a man finds his voice like never before. He knows better than ever his likes and dislikes. He has clearer boundaries. This is a time to use energy wisely rather than waste it away. He's learning to give his life to others, children, family, a partner, and or he's learning to give his life to a cause, a mission, a purpose. Understanding and claiming one's purpose in the world is key here. A man in this stage of life must be taking action. You must be in action, whatever that action is. A man who is in the late prince or king in training stages will engage in the unwanted habit of emotional eating when there's something deeper calling to him, when his life has somehow veered from its truest course, when he's not following his soul's compass. Remember, food is not the problem. Food is the solution. And because our relationship with food is a great teacher, he simply needs to listen deeply to what the challenge called emotional eating is asking him to learn, how it's calling him to be his best self. So if you're facing emotional eating in this stage of life, consider these questions. What do I want to do with my life? What's missing in my life? How can I marshal all my energy into living my best life? Do I need to expand my spiritual horizons? Do I need love in my life? Is my work fulfilling? Am I living into my potential? How can I be the real me? What parts of me need to wake up? What changes do I need to make? What am I avoiding? And how can I start to claim my power as a man in this world like never before? Okay, let's look at the king stage of life. The king phase is age 50 and over. I know there's other phases after that. This is the height of a man's incarnation. This stage is all about owning your power, giving your gifts, knowing who you are, why you're here, what you stand for, what you represent, and who you serve. The stage is all about having a clear and immovable purpose, the ability to focus, to be the captain of your own ship, to have meaning in life. A king rules over his kingdom. This doesn't mean he's a power-hungry egomaniac. It means that he knows his place in the world and who he is here to serve and uplift. A man's kingdom is defined as all the people around him, friends, family, loved ones, co-workers, anyone he comes in contact with. A king's mandate is to care for his kingdom, to give his gifts, to bestow, to uplift, to leave the world a better place. Many men of king's age never quite embody their king archetype. Too many men, unfortunately, feel burdened by the world. They've worked hard to raise a family, earn a living, do their job, and they can reach king age feeling very disappointed with life. They could reach king age feeling disillusioned or depressed and incomplete. If they haven't learned to take care of their body, if they've arrived at age 50 feeling tired, if they're afflicted with too many unwanted symptoms and without a sense of achievement or accomplishment or connection to something bigger than themselves, then emotional eating is predictable. Chances are they likely didn't have good role models or mentors who could help them find their true path. They simply have little energy or enough insight and awareness to see that the king's throne is in reach. Now, other men of king's age are stuck in their prince archetype. They're still going after more power, more women, more fun, more adventure, not being responsible, and trying to stay young, trying to stay in the prince stage. Still, others have stepped into the realm of being bad kings. These men are often looking for more power and standing in the world. They're hungry just for more wealth. They're not directed by a strong moral code. Perhaps a lot of leaders of the world fit that description. A good king answers to a higher power. A good king will fight for what is right. A good king follows a higher code. A good king wants to leave the world a better place. A good king puts his kingdom first. I've worked with a lot of men clients over the years of king age who came to see me with help for their health or their weight. And a majority of them would say something like, you know I need to eat better. I just don't. I need motivation. I need you to help motivate me. Now, here's the bottom line. You can't motivate someone in a sustainable way to eat healthy and take care of themselves. When somebody says, I need you to motivate me, that's code word for, I don't have any good and compelling reason to take care of myself. Such men will often share that they've raised their kids. The kids are now off to college. They've done their career thing, and now they're drifting a bit. And the real problem is they don't have a new purpose in life. They used to have a purpose, for sure. But they're complete with that phase of life now. Kids and career are no longer necessarily the mountain that they're climbing. So kings often emotionally eat when they have no renewed purpose, no plan. Not really something that they want to live for. Nothing inspiring them. Nothing that they can give themselves to. I mean, think about it. Why would you take care of yourself if there's no reason to? Men need to have a reason to live if they're going to be vigilant about health and diet. So anytime you see a man just throwing his body away and not taking care of it, and he's of king's age, chances are there's nothing inspiring him to want to be healthy and vibrant. So the remedy for men of king's age who emotionally eat is straightforward. It's find a new purpose and live it. You can try to focus on willpower or restriction or habit management or cognitive behavioral therapy all year long. But these are not going to take hold. Something deeper is going on. Our relationship with food is always a great teacher. And in this case, emotional eating is calling our king back into his kinghood. It's asking him to claim or reclaim his throne. It's asking him to discover a new purpose in life and live it. So if you're a man of king's age and find yourself emotional eating, here's a great exercise. Here's a great journaling practice. Spend some time in a favorite quiet place, perhaps a power spot in nature, someplace that inspires you, that helps you go within. And ask yourself these questions. How long do I want to live? To what age? Choose an exact number. Be decisive about it. I'm not going to hold you to it, but choose a number. Then ask yourself, what would make life worth living for me with those remaining years on planet Earth? How do I want to spend my time? What would inspire me? What would light me up? Where is life calling me? It's best to let your imagination run free here and see what emerges for you. If nothing comes to mind, don't worry. Consider this an ongoing, powerful question that you keep asking yourself every day until answers start to emerge. You might choose to begin with a small project in life that has your interest or attention. It might not be your life's work or your life's dream, but it can get you moving in a direction and generate momentum for you. So this is a time to reinvent yourself, to think outside the box, to reclaim your soul, to go deep within, to find your purpose for being here, your reason for being here. It might be something that's more self-oriented. That's fine. Or it might be something that's more service-oriented. That's fine too. And it could be a combination of those. Feel free to be radical and courageous with yourself and step outside the box. Well, my friends, hopefully you're seeing that life is time-released. That's what the stages are about. Our life is time-released. We all go through stages. We all go through phases. Looking at our life phases through the lens of the Royal Archetypes can be very helpful when it comes to healing and transforming emotional eating. As I think you've been seeing in each life stage, life is asking something of us. It's teaching us. It's calling us into a higher place. It's our task. It's our responsibility to answer that call to the best ability that we can. That's all. Just do the best you can. Be gentle. Be kind with yourself. Be patient with yourself. Be your own best advocate. We've covered a lot today, my friends. We've looked at a whole new way to understand our journey through life and our journey with food and body and emotional eating. I truly hope this was helpful for you. And now it's time for you to do some of the good work on self. Please continue to do the practices, all the practices that you've been learning, and consider your life stage and where life is calling you in this life stage. And I look forward to seeing you in the next session. Take care, my friends.